So let's pray today. I'm pretty excited. I have my wife with me, and she has me with her. So we're going to do this together. We did this once before on a little health seminar we did. So we're just going to do it again because it's fun. And this time we haven't prepared for, like, at all, right? So, or some conversational stuff. So it's just fun because we love our conversations and we love teaching together. And I believe that that's one of the things that God put in our hearts was to do this together, shotgunning it, like we are now. Except your mic's not on yet, so I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah, the wrong mic, or it's just low. Okay.
So yeah, we're gonna bring
it should be on.
To
I'm hearing some stuff. I have the right. The mic is on. It may just need to be turned up on the gains, maybe up at the very top. It's not mic that we use very often, so I haven't gotten all the kinks worked out of this yet. Getting better.
If not, we could trade, but I had the handheld because
you move more.
I move too much. Start getting tangled all over the church here. While we're figuring that out, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing here this morning already. So we come in expectation. We thank you for your words of truth. And we thank you that sometimes you come in and you flip the tables in our life. Sometimes you challenge us. You always challenge us. So, Lord, I thank you that you're doing a new thing. And in this, I pray that the wineskin would be new so that we can come into agreement and alignment with what you're doing. Thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for words that you put on our heart. And so let these come forth strongly yet gently. With the strength of your word, the strength of your truth, and the freeing power of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So today, I'd say we're tapering off and completing this sort of series I started on spirit, soul, body, who are we? We discussed, you know, who we are and how when we start to begin to understand who we are, then we could better understand who he is. Because it's inseparable. And the more we understand who he is, the more we understand who we are, right? And I kind of introduced this. And obviously, if I recap, it'll take me about an hour and a half because that's what it took me. But at the same time, like we also introduced the idea of a wholly integrated, WHOL, right? A holistic approach to understanding who we are and knowing that it's all connected. And so Kirsten and I even... took it on us to introduce a health class. Nick, you would have loved it, man, if you were there. It's really fun because, you know, sometimes we talk about health and healthy eating and healthy lifestyle, and it's not boring, it's fun, it tastes great, and it's really good, and it's rich life, right? But if we do that and we say, okay, Thursday at 7 o'clock, no one's going to be there, you know, because they think that we're just going to pull out some weird, new diet or fad or whatever. So, and it seems boring. So we said, okay, well, let's just bring it to the pulpit. So we introduced this idea of what it means to be healthy because we know that every choice that we make, even in the body, affects the spirit, and the spirit certainly affects the body. It's all integrated. We're all connected. It's the holistic us. It's who we are, right? So today, we'd love to do something fun to kind of wrap this up, is to talk about the gut, which is the foundation of your health. This is becoming more mainstream, so you might have heard some of this stuff, but we're just going to kind of go over that a little bit because this is church. This is what we do, right? So we're going to go over that. Just a quick briefing, okay? It's not going to be like, you know, we can go for hours on about like the gut and intestinal flora and how it affects your health, but we're going to go over that and then basically tie it in with how this applies to us spiritually as well. Sound good? Fun? All right. So... Kirsten, why don't you kick us off and the gut.
So one of the big things that we weren't able to cover in our health seminar was, bacteria, which sounds bizarre. It's one of those things in our culture that we say is a no-no. Oh, you can't have bacteria. You got to kill off everything. Just nuke everything and it'll be okay. Science is coming to realize that when you kill off all bacteria, bad things happen. And when you kill off bacteria enough times, the bacteria says, ah, I don't want to die anymore, and it finds ways to mutate, and then it's harder and harder and harder and harder and harder to kill off the bacteria. I think the FDA even decided to say that antibacterial hand soap is no longer a good thing. Because when what happens, and we have bacteria in our gut, we have about 5 pounds of bacteria in our body, which sounds absolutely disgusting, but it's actually very, very good for you most of the time, if it's good. There's healthy bacteria that is beneficial to your body, and there's unhealthy bacteria that will make you sick if it's in you got to, if it gets out of control. We have bacteria in our guts, and we have bacteria in our skin all throughout our body. The primary place, though, is in our gut. We get, in the past, we used to get a lot of bacteria from our food, because prior to the invention of refrigeration, the only ways that you could preserve foods was either by drying it, salting it, or fermenting it. Those were the main ways of preserving food. And those ways, all those ways of preserving the foods are ways of keeping the harmful bacteria at bay. And in that process, there's a process of creating a culture, creating an environment in which the healthy bacteria can thrive. So in every meal, very often, especially in the wintertime when fresh foods weren't as available, you are loading your gut with lots of beneficial bacteria. And in that, people were able to be healthy and were resistant to a lot of the diseases that we find ourselves falling into. We were just listening this morning to a refresher on this video that we'd heard online of this guy who had...
It's MRSA. Anyone, MRSA, very serious illness created by bacteria and causing infections.
It's a antibiotic resistant staph infection. So this man and his family were for years fighting this MRSA infection, and every time he tried to get a little bit better, then he'd be exposed to something else and he'd get worse. He'd get a little bit better and exposed to something and get worse. So long story short, he tried every antibiotic possible to get rid of this infection. It was mostly on his skin, but it went all the way through his bloodstream as well. The only thing that they found that actually worked, and this ended up saving their life, they created their own form of kombucha using a different strain. It's kind of similar to kombucha. They basically made their own culture of a probiotic that they could bathe in. And they covered their bodies with it after a shower, didn't wash, dry it off, and it was actually it was enough to save their lives.
And yeah, and this was after much, as she mentioned, but excuse me, there were many attempts at killing off this bacteria, and it was mostly antibiotics that they were pumping, especially this gentleman with, and you know, each time they would go through one season, another season, and they would continue to try all these different antibiotics, and of course, slowly what happened? Well, I mean, his immune system was so weakened that, like, you know, this antibiotic coming into his system and wrecking everything. Actually, like the bad and most powerful bacteria that was infecting him was you know, becoming more and more strengthened and immune to each antibiotic. They tried like several different ones, including like the last attempt, which was to try both at once. And they're like pumping, like, you know, like IV type, they were, you know, shots and all this stuff. And he realized he was going to die. Like if he didn't come up with some other thing, because the doctors weren't helping him, because they weren't thinking about his body and the natural defenses. All they're thinking about is terminating the bacteria, right? We're gonna get somewhere good with that. But, you know, that's what doctors do. I was just talking to Truman this morning, where we're coming into an understanding that our body is a whole functioning system. If you go to the doctor and you say, I have this issue with this part of my body, they'll be like, okay, well, let me fix this issue. Let me attack this issue. Let me give you medicine to cover this issue. What's wrong with that? They don't understand that the whole body, like, novel idea, everything in my body affects it, like, you know, affects one another. So like, you know, I read that somewhere. But like, so to create one, like one issue, or to fix an issue and create several others because you're fixing it, I mean, no wonder why we're a mess. All right? So, what's that? Yes.
You treat the symptoms and not the actual source of the problem.
It's not sustained. Yes.
Good. Yeah, you don't get down to the gut of the issue. Huh. So
anyway.
The basic premise with how this gentleman was able to overcome the Mercer was to and become healthy again. He was loading his gut up with bacteria.
Which helped, but
which did
more.
Help. However, he needed to get the external part of him healthy as well. So in this process, so the basic premise is you can kill off all the bacteria. Antibiotics do that. They kill off all the bacteria in your gut and create kind of a sterile environment. In essence, it kind of creates a vacuum where anything can come in and thrive. So typically what happens is that the harmful bacteria will come in and thrive again. So you get sick, you take antibiotics, and you get a little bit better, and then you get sick again. So one of the better ways of dealing with that is to, and a lot of doctors will actually recommend that if you do take antibiotics, follow it up with probiotics. So what about if we start off with that and say, hey, I don't feel like getting sick? How about let's start off with loading our guts with bacteria, with healthy, beneficial bacteria and yeast as well. There are beneficial yeast as well, and that will help keep things balanced. They are finding out that healthy bacteria is found in, though there are certain strains of bacteria that are found in people with health, who are healthy, considered all over generally healthy. There are certain strains of bacteria that are found there. There are certain strains of bacteria that are associated with good mental health. There are certain strains of bacteria that are associated with healthy weight, a healthy weight, not too heavy, not too thin, getting to a healthy weight.
And mood.
And mood, and a lot of other things like that.
Yeah. So, and what he realized was his skin is the first natural barrier. And his skin, I mean, your skin and your dead skin cells, here we go. It's pretty sounds gross again, but this is what's going on a microscopic level. Man, who knows what, like, stuff changes when you start looking through a scope, man. It's amazing.
It gets weird.
Yeah, well, and what's amazing is, you know, that line between what the spirit and that natural become more and more, it becomes more and more thin, and you start to see the connection. So anyway, but he realized, like, hey, my skin isn't, your skin is a natural biome full of bacteria. You guys are full of it. Like, it's amazing, right? So, and we've been kind of deceived through modern culture and also a lot of marketing, like antibacterial this, antibacterial that, soaps, all that stuff, whatever, but like not realizing that, hey, like this stuff plays a role, and it's about understanding that a healthy person has a healthy amount of bacteria. And like Kirsten said, if you just attack the bacteria, then it makes that it's not about making it uninhabitable. It makes it very habitable for it to come back and with a vengeance. Someone I know had a parable one time. And he says, "Well, if you cast this thing out and you clean house." What happens if that environment is still very habitable, it's going to come back. It's going to bring its friends, man. It's going to come back with a vengeance, more so. And we'll get into that in a minute.
So, do you want to move into that?
Yeah, shall we? Well,
or should we stick with some practicals?
Why don't we just talk about some practical advice and just some understanding about really... So to me, it's kind of a two-step process. Number one is, of course, loading, getting it in you, right? Like getting it in you. But this, step two, I would actually say this is my own self saying this is much more important, which is sustaining and actually making your body healthy, doing your part in putting the right things in, doing the right things with it, so that it becomes that good and fertile environment, a good environment for good things to happen in your body. Does that make sense? Because, like, you know, back then or in other cultures where they have these amazing immune systems and a very healthy gut and internal system, they don't take like probiotics. They just don't, because they're there and they're doing the right thing, because they have been less, their diets and culture have been less tampered with by the Western diet and culture.
Well, and they typically aren't taking, they're not taking it in a pill form, but they'll be taking it in food form, which
right.
is different.
Right. So intake, number one, and number two, let's get our bodies healthy, and that's really important, because a lot of us are like fighting a sickness that we're feeding. Come on, we get like
sugar,
this is important.
Sugar feeds bad bacteria. Alcohol strips your gut if you drink too much of it. A little in moderation is good. Caffeine can damage your gut if you're drinking too much of it. And pesticides from non-organic foods will strip your gut. There are so many toxins in our environment that cause a lot of damage. So nowadays we're facing a lot more. We have to fight against more. Well, do we have to fight? But there's so much coming against us to harm our bodies, harm that gut biome, that we have to be very intentional about coming against it and standing, putting the things in that fight the battle for us, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it definitely does. And none of this is going to, okay, so let's go over into some basics, but we will keep it basic. We're not saying stop drinking coffee. I wouldn't dare say that. Otherwise, I'll have some things thrown at me in the next few minutes.
We both drink coffee, so don't.
Yeah. So, but just generally, let's just go into some general things. So Kirsten mentioned a few of them. So number one, take them. You know, loading phase. What are good sources of probiotics? We have talked about briefly a few things. You know, there are products in the market, plenty of them. Look for full spectrum things. A lot of probiotics that the doctor gives you after taking antibiotics is like Acidophilus, whatever. Like that's, I'm like, okay, that's great. But there's like, you know, a million
millions.
Others. So I tend to stay on products that are a little more natural and a little bit more full spectrum, and you'll see it on the market, especially in like Vitamin Cottage or something like that. I maybe skip CVS, go to Vitamin Cottage. You know, Vitamin Cottage will have some really good
good sources products. Are food sources. A lot of you have heard of kombucha. That's a good source. You want to get something that's live culture. Whatever product you find that's a cultured product, you want to make sure it's a live culture. You don't want to get pickles are a good source, but don't get the one on the shelf that has vinegar in it, because it's dead. There's nothing in it. You want to get the ones that are in the refrigerator section that say live culture. There are some in the refrigerator section that are still vinegar pickles. Doesn't help much. So you want kefir or
yogurt
is another one, but get yogurt without all the sugar in it, because the sugar doesn't help it at all, and you're going to get a lot more beneficial bacteria in the plain full fat yogurt rather than anything else.
Full fat, man. Have your fat and eat it too. Like, we talked about this already, like the biggest lie, like I know many of you might not have been here, one of the biggest lie 101, okay, like in our culture is like everything is low fat. We've been eating low fat, and look at us. I'm just saying, okay? As a nation, we've been on this, and it doesn't work.
He eats full
and
fat.
I eat whole fat.
Sorry.
Yeah, but that's a little tricky Okay. but like, just know that when you put good fats, not bad fats, good fats, like the kind that you find in nature, not lab created, right? Like margarine and weird oils and stuff. Yeah, sure. Yeah, anything that you find in nature, put it in your body, and then what'll happen is the craziest thing. It'll sustain you. You will feel sustained. You will have something to burn. Calories are a very good thing, promise, and so is cholesterol, promise. Man, should we just go into another one of these now?
No.
But what were we saying? Oh yeah. So anyway, full fat, good yogurt, nothing in it. Like most of the people I know, they're like, I don't even know what to do with, like, what do you mean plain yogurt? It's like tart and yogurty. I'm like, it's yogurt. So what we do is put like a little honey in it. Oh,
cinnamon.
Man, like now you're adding. Now you're adding enzymes on top of like all the goodness, okay? So you skip the sugar, put a little bit of honey if you got to have that sweetness in it, man. Like I actually like it plain, but like a little honey, a little fresh fruit.
Cinnamon.
We actually do that every. Yeah, we do that every morning. Honey and cinnamon. Yep. So yogurts are an excellent source of probiotics. Yep.
So another one is sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's an excellent source. Kimchi is an excellent source. Make sure you, if you're going to warm it, but don't warm it beyond where you can touch it. If it gets too hot, then you can't touch it. It kills off anything beneficial in it. So eat it kind of cool or just warmed.
Yeah, I remember when I had a horrible stomach problem when I was about like 10, and my mom was like, I have just the thing for you. She knew. And I was like, okay. I'm like, I mean, it was bad. And she like puts this plate of sauerkraut in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God.
It was like the last thing I wanted.
Like the last thing. And, you know, but she was like, okay, well just like drink the juice. So I like started drinking the juice. I'm not even kidding. Within like a few minutes, I was like, oh, like I felt it. I was like, this is crazy. There's like change going on. I'm like, all right, let me eat the sauerkraut, you know, and it helps, you know. And that wasn't even great quality sauerkraut. If you really want to go all out, go to Vitamin Cottage and get the raw sauerkraut because it's, yeah, without going too far into it. So, yeah, I agree. Like the best way to get a good healthy biome, good beneficial bacteria and microorganisms into your gut is by food sources that are fermented. These are thousands of years old. Like Kirsten said, this is before they had the technology to preserve food. It was a must. They preserved food this way, and they had no idea that they were, you know, that was what was preserving their health too.
Yeah,
right?
And the biggest premise with this is that the beneficial bacteria, it doesn't fight actively against the bad bacteria. What it does is it crowds it out. It keeps it, makes it so that there's, it eats up all the food, so there's nothing left for the bad bacteria. And generally speaking, the bad bacteria likes things like sugar and other things that beneficial bacteria, well, no, beneficial bacteria does like the sugars as well, but it will crowd it out. So it makes it so that there's no room left. It's like the bodybuilder sitting on the airplane. Nobody can sit next to him, you know?
Amen. So I love that, because it's so true. So it's this paradigm shift that we're going into, because we realize that the way to health, the key to health and healthy living, is actually healthy living. Like doing the right thing, feeding our bodies with what actually works instead of trying to cover it up. It's the inside out. It's the empowering from the inside out. So there's communion over there. That's the bread and the juice. I love that, because what does it stand for? You know, because every time you're doing it, hopefully it's not just some religious tradition that we do. There's so much meaning behind that. And what you're doing, like, we're holding these expressions in our hands of the love of Jesus, the love of Christ, that he would break his, allow his body to be broken and his blood to be shed for us. And we take it into us. Man, like, most people would say, it's really weird, man. Like, well, that's like, we celebrate that. Like, I celebrate the weirdness of Christianity sometimes, because that's true Christianity. He says hard things, like, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever. Why? Because what is his bread? Or what is his body? It's the bread. It's the bread of life. He was the manna. He was the manna that came down from heaven in the wilderness while they were complaining. Like, that was the stuff that was to sustain them. So when I eat of that, what a beautiful picture. We've said this before, in the birthing, in the wedding vows of the first covenant, it was here, you know, here's the blood of the covenant, and the people are covered with the blood. They're sprinkled with the blood, okay, and covered. Beautiful. When Jesus renews the wedding vow, new covenant, this is the messianic age. This is like the age. This is what they were all waiting for right here. He says, take it in you. Why? Because he wants things to change here. He kept saying, you know, things like it's the heart of a man, or it's the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And it's what's inside a man that makes him clean, not outside. Why? It's all about the inside. So as I'm eating the bread and drinking the juice or the wine, I'm realizing that this is the very power of Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ that I'm putting inside of me, and then I become because I am what I eat. Right? I love that. I just love that picture. What a beautiful...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just taking, I got a little sample for a supplement that's actually called the three brains. It's your brain and your brain. You got your brain and your head, you got your heart, and you've also got your gut, because your gut is a thinking organ. Your heart is a thinking organ. And so when we support, very often in Greek thinking, we separate everything out. Each organ is separate. Each idea is separate. Each spirit is separate from soul, separate from body. Everything is separate. But in Hebrew thinking, it's all together. And we need to support that all together. And what actually got us on the topic of this today was the fact that in talking about our gut health and bacteria, there's so many parallels to the things in the spirit. You have the option to fight off all the bad, and it just keeps coming back, and you're fighting it constantly, or you...
Sure comes to my mind.
Yeah. Or you set up a system, bring in the good, cultivate the good, and it crowds out the bad, and you don't even have to think about it anymore. You create an environment that is healthy. You invite the host of heaven in. You invite the Holy Spirit into your life. You invite all these things in. You create a culture for this. And guess what? Where is the enemy? Do you even have to think about him anymore? No. He's gone. And if he does come, you go, oh, weird. And that's it. That's it. That's it. He's already defeated. He's been already defeated, and yet we keep fighting him.
Yeah, but that's too simple. Exactly. This thing is so simple. It's offensively simple. And that was part of why people tripped and fell on the cornerstone, which is Christ. He brought such a simple message. It was that truth of the gospel of the heart, that transformation that changes everything. So, like, you know, we talked about this last time. Some of you weren't here, but you know, we were talking about, like, this is me in my old life, my old thinking, my old way of being, and these branches that come off, you know, this is everything that has come up to this moment from my own lineage. You know, like there are different, you know, I have ancestors and they've made decisions and that affects me. Right? And we know this is a spiritual reality. And we also talked about the fact that even science is coming on to this. It's called epigenetics. This is like amazing. Like what your ancestors did affect you, and knowing me and the junk that I was going through, whatever, and all my junk, whatever. And then realizing that they had junk. That's a lot of junk. That's like a really junky situation. I was like, whoa. And then I realized, like, so about 2.5 years ago, I began to believe the gospel. And I was like, whoa, Lord, like you didn't just... you know, we talked about this, but I can't stop talking about it. Like, you didn't just die for me to have a better day. I'm not a Christian to have a better day. I'm not a Christian to have a better life. I'm a Christian to have a brand new one. Completely, like, a whole different playing field. Like, this is not a survival kit, first aid, fire insurance gospel. Okay, He brought me in. He died for me, shed his blood. He paid the price to win back what was lost. What was lost? I was lost. We were lost sons. Okay, like it goes back into the parable. This is so Bible. It's so good. And then as we trace it back, we realize that, wow, we were created in his image and his likeness. And so to be like him, to look like him, and to be with him. Beautiful. And that was lost. That was lost at the fall. You know, and we talked about that, like, you know, before. Whatever. So, you know, that was cut, okay? And I was cut off. I was cut off, from him in the spirit. So, when I believed in him, I said, whoa, okay. Like, what I did back there when I accepted Jesus into my, like, into me, into my life, because it would be silly just to accept him into my heart, right? Oh, did you accept Jesus in your heart, brother? Like, did we really know the fullness of what that means? And be a shame if I didn't accept him into the rest of me. It'd be a shame if I thought that the gospel was just like incorporate him into your life and then get better. You know, like, so incorporate him into here, and then this will continue and go up and get better. That would be good enough already, right? Because Jesus is awesome. But lo and behold, he said to Nicodemus, if you want to be born again, if you want to come into the kingdom, you have to be born again. That's crazy. Like, what do you mean, Jesus? Crawl back into my mother's womb? And then he says, no. One must be born again by the Spirit. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. What a beautiful picture. When you were born, you were in your mother's womb in the amniotic, what's Shelley? Amniotic fluid in her sac, in the water right there, right? And then you were birthed into a new place. And we could even go back before that, but let's not I won't get too weird on you, because then we get into the menorah and this, yeah. Okay, so like we were born into this new place that we call our world and our life as we knew it. Okay, but then through baptism, we died with him. Through baptism, there's our water again, and through that, we're raised with him into a brand new life. So I leave this and I join a whole other bloodline. That's what we talked about, right? So it's not just about self-improvement. It's complete, like, I am a new creation. The old me is gone. The new has come. It is no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. Yay, that's the gospel. Like, we sell ourselves short so much, so often, and that's what we're hitting on today, and that's what we're going to be hitting on for a little while, because we need to know who we are. We just need to know who we are, guys. Like I keep thinking, like, oh, wow, that's who I am. That's amazing. And then he shows me even greater and deeper, and it's like a never-ending sea of amazingness. So now I'm here, okay, and I'm engaging with this. And so anyway, sorry, yeah. I just took over this thing. We're gonna come back to this. But like the reason why I came here is because this was the understanding. I thought that as a Christian, I had to do this complicated, 30 steps to a better life type of thing, whatever, and complicated thing where I'm fighting off and beating off, and all the time, be like, oh, you devil, I rebuke you, and I was rebuking devils, and I was rebuking demons, and speaking against Satan, all the time, whatever. And I really, now I realize I was speaking to Satan way too much. Listen, like, now, I don't even think of him. He's withering and he's lost. He's done. So why? What is your fire to me, O King? Right? Like, it's not even on the same playing field. That's what he wants you to do. Dan Moeller, one of my favorite people in the world, said it this way. He said, "Man, in Genesis he was a snake. In Revelation he's a dragon, because we've puffed him up through those lies, and we've given him dominion that it was never meant to be his." That makes sense. So instead of fighting and trying to pinpoint and fight off the stuff, fight off the demons, fight off the bad bacteria, I began to accept the truth and the reality of a brand new me, and as I did, I became uninhabitable for those very things. It's like if you get oiled up and someone tries to throw a sticky thing at you, it's just not going to stick. That's just a weird picture, but you get what I'm saying. So it just doesn't stick. It has no place in me, because now I'm uninhabitable. He can't have me. I'm already his. I'm sold. Like I said last night, sold for like no longer for sale. I'm sold, written in blood on my forehead.
Interestingly enough, two of the things that you can use to clean off bacteria, get rid of bacteria, salt and light. Salt is used all the time in preservation of foods, because what it does is you put salt in a jar of cabbage, shredded cabbage, and what it does is it creates a hostile environment inactively. It's not actively fighting it. It's inactively fighting against the salt is inactively creating an environment in which the bad bacteria cannot thrive. And it holds, in that way, the bad bacteria is held off so that the beneficial bacteria can rise up and thrive in this place. So by the time the bad bacteria would have a chance to grow, there's not even a chance. Even if it could survive the salt, it's not going to, because there's so much beneficial bacteria there. So in the same way, we are supposed to be salt in this earth. So we are supposed to, by our very presence, not even fighting it off, by our very presence, we create an inhospitable environment for the enemy. So the enemy doesn't even have a place anymore. And we allow the things of heaven to come in and thrive. Light is another way. Did you want to add to the salt?
I just love that. It's like, let's begin to get contagious with the good stuff, man. At some point, there's got to be a tipping point, and this turns the other way, and we send them running. Yeah, we are that salt. We're no longer afraid of germs, afraid of all this stuff. News flash, as we're pointing out to you now, it's everywhere anyway. It's probably on you. Who cares?
Okay. It is on you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're everywhere, but science is showing, everything's backed up, what we're saying, okay? Like, not just by the word of God, but by science. So, like, it's amazing. So it's everywhere. So it's, they're coming on to the fact that it is all about your strengthened immune system, a whole functioning, a good, healthy body, because then that germ will not have, like, you'll be impenetrable, and it'll also not get a foothold in you. You get that? So the healthier I get, the less colds I get, or when I do get a cold, it's much shorter. It's because I'm not focusing on the cold. And actually, hold that thought. One more picture I'll paint for you is I'm a gardener and I love plants. And I used to, when I had a plant issue, it would either be a pest or an issue with the leaves or an issue with the fruit on a tomato or whatever. Like, I would go to the store, I'd rush to the nursery and buy, like, these little, like, products. Like, one for, you know, leaf rust, and the other for, tomato blossom end rot. Another for pests. You get chemicals that wipe out the pest. All the stuff, right? Then I learned this approach, this holistic approach, this truth, this biblical truth that we can apply to all of life. And I realized, I was like, oh, I just need to take care of the plant by focusing on the root zone and feeding the soil and cultivating a healthy environment in the soil for this plant to thrive. And when it does, suddenly I see all these issues at the top begin to disappear just by affecting the soil. Amazing. Like I've actually put good fertile compost on a plant that was full of aphids, didn't even touch an aphid. And like the next day, literally, or two, I'd go out there and no more aphids. Why? Because now that plant has the ability to defend itself and be healthy, and it just doesn't succumb to the same issue that's always there. Jesus says that my sheep will hear my voice, and that doesn't mean that the enemy stops speaking. There's all sorts of voices coming at us all day. Who knows that? That's true. But we are to know him internally. We are to stand in his truth. So it's not about being taken out of the fire or being spared from the fire, right? Like we shared last night, the three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to spare you from this fire." They went in, man. They went in, and they were not touched.
Interestingly enough, with the plant, part of getting to the roots is also the water. If the plant is not getting enough water, either because the soil is poor or because it's not being watered enough, then the plant is going to be sick, and the plant sends off signals to everything around it, come eat me. So all the bugs come. So instead
Hormones. Yep. This is scientific here.
So instead of, you could fight off all the bugs all you want, but you're still going to have an unhealthy plant, and you're going to get unhealthy fruit that tastes bitter and is dry and is not very good. And it doesn't have much nutrition in it either. Or you can add manure or another compost to the soil. So add things healthy to the soil and water the soil, water it. And, you think about that in terms of the spirit. Okay. If you're not getting food, if you're not eating spiritual food, if you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not engaging the Father, guess what? You're going to be sick.
Get off the TV.
In a way, it's like we send off signals to the enemy and say, come eat me, I'm sick, I'm unhealthy. So fill yourselves with the word, not just on Sunday, because honestly, how many of you really want to eat once a week? You're not going to be very healthy doing that. You need to fill yourself with quality foods, spiritual quality foods. Get in time with the Father. Pray all the time.
Junk in, junk out. That's just the reality of it. And that's a law that, I mean, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, just like we touched on, I am all about miraculous healing. I've seen it. I love it. I see it happen. It's amazing. And I will stand for you and with you no matter what. But sometimes we're like praying for healing and we're like putting the junk in. It's like, dude, like stop feeding the issue, right? Same deal. I mean, you know, we wonder why we're not accelerating like we should in the spirit realm and in our walks with God, but we're hanging out in front of the TV and it's just, come on, it's just junk, you know? So, not to pick on the TV, you know what I'm saying? But like, what are we doing? What are we putting what are we putting in? Because what we put in is what's going to come out ultimately. What you fill your heart with, out of the overflow of that, of your heart, your mouth speaks, Jesus says. But that also means like what you do, it's self-evident.
I get so frustrated going grocery shopping because even organic food typically has more nutrition in it, if that helps you to know. What you eat is, yes, start eating vegetables and fruits, but if you eat the organic fruits and vegetables typically will have about 50% more nutrition. If you can get local homegrown foods, it's 100% nutrition. So you get a lot better quality, and it also tastes better too. So when you go to the store, I get so frustrated because so often, like my favorite example is celery. Because celery is just this, a lot of times you go, it's this spindly, awful thing. You can see straight through the stalk of celery. And it's bitter, it's tough, it doesn't taste very good, it takes you forever to chew it. But if you can find a big, thick, heavy stalk of celery that you can't see through and is very, very dense, it'll be very moist and it'll be slightly even sweet and it'll be easy to chew. And that's what comes from the soil. That's how you can tell. And the same with us. You can tell our soil by what comes out of our mouth. What are we thinking on? If what comes out of our mouth is bitter and hateful and angry, if you sit there and yell at the cars going by, if you're, we had a neighbor that was making chicken noises over the fence because they were upset with our chickens. I mean, and not to pick on them or anything like that. They were loud. I get it. But it's that kind of thing. It's like, what's coming out of you? And what comes out of you reveals the state of your heart. If you're fighting and angry and bitter all the time, then guess what? That you got to work on your soil. But don't sit there in that pitiful state of, oh, well, I just made a mistake. There's some bitter stuff coming out. Take the opportunity to say, okay, look, there's something going on in the garden of my heart. This isn't right. This isn't right. Okay. Instead of coming down on yourself and accusing yourself, instead go, okay, something's up, something's not right. This is not who I am. This is not who God says that I am. Go in and say, okay, something's here that doesn't belong. There's no bindweed supposed to be grown in my garden. And so I'm going to go in and remove that bindweed, and I'm going to plant, plants of thanksgiving and praise to God. Pour in those truths.
Yeah, and those truths are symbolic for food, because that is our food. That is our living bread, or that revelation, that understanding.
Instead of dwelling on the stuff that's not supposed to be there, you go, oh shoot, what's this? This isn't supposed to be here. Get it out, right. And then continue to cultivate the good things.
Yeah, and this way is so much more effective. You know, Jesus says that. He doesn't say the next deliverance service is what's going to set you free, although it can. He didn't say that rebuke this way or yell this way or scream in tongues this way, that's going to set you free. No, he says the truth will set you free. So what are we doing? And are we partaking of truth? Are we eating of the food? Are we eating of the bread of life, the manna that's ours? Guys, like everything that happened with Israel is a type and shadow of what we've inherited. We have the manna every day. Jesus, if anyone wants to contest me, Jesus says, I am the bread that fell out of heaven, right? That came down from heaven. I shouldn't say fell. Came down from heaven. It's for you to eat every day. So, yes, like part of much of this. So, how we start to wrap this. Like, one thing is, like, I know that many of us become frustrated. We're like, okay, I get this here, but I'm just not seeing change. Like, when God, like, when am I going to see the change in me? And this could be physical or spirit or both. Doesn't matter. Many times they're connected. When am I going to see the change that I want to see? And for me, it was believing. And that was the first step is believing that I came from here to there. And once I realized that I'm here, that I'm part of a new family line, the royal bloodline. And seriously, I could talk about this for hours and maybe freak some of you out, because there are some seriously amazing implications here, okay, of being in this new family. The Bible says I'm adopted. I'm a son. I don't belong here anymore. This is where I belong. This is who I am. So just understanding that changed everything right off the bat, because now when I did fall, it wasn't the same, or related to this. Oh, man. I was doing so good. And then I ate the Cheetos the last night. The Cheetos are like the big bowl of ice cream, man. And I'm just done. Throw my hands up. I might as well just throw in the towel and, like, you know, I screwed it up. Like, there goes, like, you know, my New Year's resolution. And, like, you know, let me just make Breyers ice cream, you know, the main food group in my life for the next 3 weeks. No. Now, when I do fall, like Kirsten said, I could thank him and be like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I dropped the ball here, and you're repentant, of course. But the next thing that comes out of your mouth is like, wow, Lord, thank you so much that this is not who you created me to be. This is not who I am anymore. This is not who I am, and I'm grasping this by faith. This is becoming my reality, okay? And the next step for me was just to, like we're saying, spend time in here, do the loading phase constantly. I'm constantly loading with this. I'm eating of the food, and then I'm allowing it to come out of my mouth. Like, so my prayer times are less of, God, could I have this? Could I have that? And a lot more of, like, proclaiming these truths over my life until they become my reality.
God, I am this. God, I am that, because you say so.
Many of those scriptures, you could insert the word I for you when Paul's talking about you, right? You know, so that's just that's a beautiful picture. So that it's just a paradigm shift. So now I'm like doing this all the time, and the most miraculous. This is nothing short of a miracle. The most miraculous thing happens as I'm taking these truths and making a mind, like contending for them by faith, because even though I don't feel like it, I do not feel like what that scripture is telling me right now. I just don't. I'm like, oh my God, okay. But I'm going after it. I'm speaking it, believing it like a child. I'm believing it. And instead of the TV, my eyes are on this, and that's what I'm on. The most miraculous thing happened, which is I begin to become the very thing that I believed. Don't ever read this word, okay, to gain understanding and knowledge for yourself. Read this word to become the very words that you're reading. This is so much more than words in a page. It's the Rhema. It's a living word.
And don't ever take that by itself without God. This all has to come through relationship with God, because if you're missing that portion of it, you fall into religion.
Right on. Because then we begin to, wow. Yeah. Could we expand on that for a second, for a few minutes, and then we'll wrap this up. Like, this is a hot topic sometimes. It's the works thing. Well, Evan, you're telling me to just, like, are you just trying to say, like, just sit on my butt and just stay in religion and rest? Because you're always preaching about religion and rest, but what about doing the stuff? And what we're talking about is the loading phase. If I eat a ton of some, well, I always make this comparison to when I tell Hannah about the heart throw up. I do this this little thing with her where, right, we talk about the heart throw up, right? I take a picture of something and I'm like, here's your heart. That bowl is your heart, and I'm pouring it in. If you eat enough of it, that thing, that's going to come out. It's almost like, anyway. So like what I'm talking about is entering into relationship and entering into the life that you were always meant to live. Okay, and you're partaking of these things, and the works are a product of that place. So Evan, am I sitting on my butt not working because I need to be in a relationship and not religion and works? No. Like, by no means. James says that, like, you know, he says something like, you fool, like, You know, you try showing me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. Why? It's not because we're justified by the works. You were talking about this like a month or two ago, like how important works are. They're extremely important. We're not justified by the works, but the works reveal what you believe. They reveal the intent of the heart and the nature of the heart. Does that make sense?
The works are really... It's kind of like that spindly celery, the bitter, nasty flavor, hard to chew. It reveals the state of the soil. Same idea.
Yeah, and as surely as an apple tree will bear apples, the yew tree, the Christian tree, will bear works. This is what we were created to do. It even says we were created in righteousness for good works of righteousness in Christ Jesus, right? So it's automatic. If you don't have the works, you probably don't have faith. It's as simple as that. Why? Because it comes out of a product. So in order to measure that, if you will, I mean, you will know what the deal is with your life when you look, you know, when you observe yourself, when you see that place from which the works are coming. So if you're realizing that, wow, like Lord, I'm just loving you. I'm in relationship. I'm loading up on your word, and like I can't even help but like speak this thing or do this thing, whatever. Those are the kind of works in relationship. Those are the kind of works that He's called us to. At least in my own experience, that's just what does it. If I have to do this thing on my own, I'm pretty screwed. It's just not going to happen real well. It has to be out of an overflow of my relationship with Him.
And there are times when, I had a period of time where I had to stop trying to do anything. Because when I did it out of striving and stress, and it was not in relationship with Him. Yes, the things I was trying to do were good. Yes, the things people would say, oh yeah, that's good. You should, oh yeah, go feed the orphans. Great, yay, you know. Not that I was feeding orphans, but you get the idea. Sometimes we have to go through a season where we have to take the foot off the gas and refocus ourselves, realign ourselves with God and get right with Him, get in relationship with Him. And with our eyes on Him, we move in rest with our eyes on Him and stuff happens. And now it's no longer a struggle for me to find an extra dollar bill to give to the homeless guy. Now it's oh, yay, here's somebody that I can bless, and here's somebody who I can smile at today and maybe ask them, hey, how you doing? And maybe make the last hour of their work a little bit nicer, you know?
Amen. So this is where freedom is for me, because in this, I don't wake up to fail. I wake up as a son. I don't wake up to try to do good works. I don't bite my lip and try.
That's religion.
Exactly. Right? It's a death trap. I wake up because I'm a son, and I'm like, yay, I can't wait. I just can't wait to live my life today because you did what you did. And that just, the perspective and focus is completely different. And so I just want to end on this, because this is part of what we're getting at here is just knowing who we are. And 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, do you not know, my brothers, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If we actually believe that, has that affect our lives? If we actually realize that we are the temple, like...
And not just in some kind of condemning way of, oh, I shouldn't get a tattoo, I shouldn't smoke, I shouldn't drink, and you sit there beating yourself up for what you're doing. But do you realize the honor that you carry? Do you realize who it is you carry? The very power in you is a power that raised Jesus from the dead after all that he would... All that it meant around his death. It raised him from the dead, and that is what is in you. Do you realize the honor that that is?
There's a third temple. There's a messianic temple, and that temple is you. Amen. And some will contend me on that, and that's okay, because this is good conversation to have, okay? You are the temple. It's clear as day. I read this book. And in the New Testament, it talks all about the temple. It doesn't talk about the physical one. It just doesn't. It doesn't talk about the rebuilding. It talks about the rebuilding of a spiritual temple. Like, he's talking about the temple. Jesus is the cornerstone of what? what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone is the beginning, of the building process of the temple. So I tell you what, if I was working for the other side, if I was the enemy, I might try to belittle who you are, make you think that you're anything less, distract you by setting your eyes on a natural temple, a natural people, and a natural land, and a natural city. Okay, there I said it. Because many of us are very distracted, and it's time that we break out of this doomsday end times mentality where we're like, oh, well, we're just kind of, we're just waiting for the rapture, and we're just like in passing here, and it's practically like we're the concubine when he calls us the bride. We are it. We are Israel. Okay, you are Israel. That Bible says that you are. That you are the chosen seed. You are the seed of Abraham, because all who are in Christ are in Abraham. Like, it's not just some natural descendants or whatever. It's not a natural bloodline that makes you Jewish. It's right here, man. It's all right there. And I'm not preaching replacement. I'm preaching fulfillment. First to the Jew, then to the Greek. Behold, realize, congratulations, you're it. You're the A-team. You're the A-team. You're not like on the bench and waiting. It's not like God is like, oh, well, I'm going to do my thing with Israel, but the church, yeah, that's for a time. Like, no. This is false teaching that's come into the church. And I'm saying, this is me, okay? Like, I'm not saying this is like official living word, doctrine here or whatever. I'm just starting a conversation, okay? Because it's distracting and it's not right, because we as a body of Christ have had everything stripped of us, our power, our fight stripped of us, because we're thinking like, oh, well, he's going to come back at any time. This is going to happen this way and that way. Meanwhile, brilliant people of the world are planning 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 years out. Why? Because it's wisdom. We have the manifold wisdom of God. We should be doing this even more so. We have a hope. We have the light. It says, arise, church, shine. Your light has come. This is who we are. Okay, so I want us to begin to realize our inheritance in full. All right, this is all Bible right here. This is all Bible. So we are his church. We are Israel. Okay, it's all one new man. There's a reason why Rich just went to Israel. It's with the message of the one new man. He broke down the wall. I'm here to break it to you. God is not dealing with the church and Israel. There's one olive tree. You've been grafted in. Congratulations. Now let's take this thing. Let's take up the kingdom, usher it, and know that we are his temple and we are his people. Second Peter, I'm going to wrap with this, I'll give you a closing statement if you have one.
Now that
I've just ruffled everything. First Peter 2:6. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble because they disobey the message and to this day were appointed. Again, somewhere, where are we? But you, okay, so what is he talking about? He's talking about the natural way, the type and shadow that Hebrews explains is about to pass away. It's become obsolete. The new has come. It's the fulfillment, though. It's the fulfillment. It all comes together here with Jesus, okay? So he's saying, like, you are a chosen race. Interesting, people. A royal priesthood, priests. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Okay, and then later on in the same scripture, he's talking about you are living stones being built together into a temple of the Lord. You are the temple. You are the temple. Congratulations. So anyway, I just wanted to wrap with that to, I don't know, maybe I apologize if I stepped on some toes there, but I said this last week that I'm willing to put myself on the line in the next few months to address some things that I believe are a lie in the church, okay? And you are powerful to disagree or agree, and we are going to have a conversation, and at the end of that conversation is much, much freedom. It's good. You know, we're going to be challenged, and we're going to bust through some lies that the enemy has tried to hold us down with. All right, because it's time that someone stepped up and like kind of addressed some of this stuff. Because I'm sorry, but there's preachers out there and on TV that are like that are creating so much fear in the heart of his people and his church, and we're like just waiting. When we already have the Savior, he's already come. The kingdom has already come. We are the church. We are his kingdom. Let's move forward in that. So be his temple. Let's take care of our temples. Let's take care of our body. So from an individual standpoint to a corporate one together, and it's time to think holistically, realizing that all of this is connected. All of this is connected. And so what we do in our decisions that we make for our bodies affect our spirit and the opposite.
So you are the salt. You are the light. Stop fighting unnecessary battles. Pickle this world for Jesus.
If some of you weren't sure, it's Dr. Sarah McGee. She's amazing, and she taught on pickling one time, and the internal. It's amazing. So are we good here? This is lie number one. Was just the enemy making us work really hard to accomplish something you already are. No more. It's no more. We already are and have that place. We will stand in that place, and we're going to become the very thing that we eat and partake of. Okay? So we release you. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, let these words fall on good ground. I thank you, Lord, that you're true to your word. And that your word goes out and accomplishes. And so just as I'll be scattering some seed this spring in the garden, let the seeds scattered this spring in the spirit garden come to life. Let not one of them get eaten up by the birds. And let none of these small plants be dried up by the sun, but let them land in good soil. Lord, and I pray that they would not be crowded out by thorns and thistles, but that the thorns and thistles would be crowded out by the good plants, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for these words. Let them come into fruition. Let your word accomplish what it was set forth to do today. We love you, Lord, and we go and we be, and we go in good health, knowing who we are, knowing the power of our covenant with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Have a great week.